John chapter number 15 this morning. Book of John chapter number 15. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to teach Sunday school this morning as we get this Bible conference started. We're going to start in John chapter number 15 and what the Lord has laid upon our hearts. We're going to start reading in verse number 1, read down through verse number 5, and then we'll get into what the Word of God has. Keep your Bibles close by you. We will be looking at a few different verses of Scripture and try to see what God can teach us from His Word. John chapter 15, verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. What a phrase there at the last verse that we just read, for without me ye can do nothing. That truly is the statement that we need to live our life by, that Jesus Christ is the end all of our life and must have our power in him. But I want to focus this morning in verse number 1, where it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And then in verse number 5, he says, I am the vine. For just a little while, as we study the Scriptures this morning, I want to teach on this subject, rejoicing in the vine. Rejoicing in the vine. Let's first pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand before these people. We thank you, dear Lord, for Brother Evans giving us the ability to be able to come and to teach this morning, to sing this week. And God, we're looking forward to what you're going to do, Lord, as we have the opportunity to serve you here upon this earth. I pray, God, that you would be with the church here, that God, every heart and every life would be affected, and dear Lord, would be increased in their faith, be increased in their walk with God this week. And Lord, we'll see great things done. Lord, not for our honor and not for our glory, but for your glory, Lord. And so help us today as we teach the blessed word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we see, first of all, that it is made very clear in this passage of Scripture that Jesus Christ is the true vine. And we see here that he says that phrase, I am the true vine. I believe that there's a lot of people in the world today that are trying to teach other vines, if you will, false vines that we are supposed to try to put our attention to and go after. Even the world itself has things that it tries to draw our attention away from Christ and tries to get us to plant our mind and plant our resources in. But Jesus said, I am the true vine. I want you to see in this passage of Scripture the benefits of being in the vine. Notice here in verse number 7 what it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Aren't you glad for answered prayer this morning? Amen. Aren't you glad that we can pray to a God that hears us? He's not an idol. He's not just some statue somewhere that we bow down to, that some religions bow down to and hope they get their prayers answered. We serve a living God, amen? We serve one that died for our sins and rose again 3 days later. And because he conquered death and the grave, we know that he is alive forevermore. And he is one that we can bring our petitions to and we can pray. I'm glad that whenever we come to an altar to pray or in our quiet times at our house that we get down on our knees to pray, it's not just going to the ceiling and bouncing back down. God can hear and answer our prayers. Where would we be without answered prayer this morning? Where would we be without being able to get a hold of the Savior? So we see, number one, the benefits of being in this true vine. The benefits of being in Christ is answered prayer. Number two, look at verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Number two, we get to bear fruit. We can be a successful Christian. We don't have to live defeated, amen? We don't have to be downtrodden. We can be a successful Christian. There is no doubt that there is an application here for being a successful Christian as winning souls and telling people about Jesus and being able to share the gospel with other folks. But then also this fruit here is also talking a little bit about what we know in Galatians chapter number 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and all of those. And I just remind you that that is the fruit of the Spirit, that it is something that it requires the Holy Ghost of God to be inside of us to be able to produce those things in our life. You wonder why you don't have joy. You wonder why that you don't have the love you need to. You wonder why you don't have the long-suffering and the temperance and everything in your life. Are you walking in the Spirit of God? Because we are in the true vine. We have access to the fruit of the Spirit. We can be able to live with that fruit of the Spirit in our life. And so we see here one of the benefits of being in the vine is to bear fruit. But then I want to show you another that's part of that fruit of the Spirit, but is drawn attention to in this verse of Scripture. Look at verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I'm have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Aren't you glad for the joy of the Lord this morning? Aren't you glad that whenever we have tough times that hit us, whenever we have troubles and trials that come our way, we can still have joy in our life. And because we are in the vine, we have access and we can have true joy. I like how he says here in verse number 11, that my joy might remain in you. God's joy never changes. God's joy is always the same. And it can remain in us. And then, because his joy is in us, in verse number 11, that your joy might be full. Hey, wherever our joy lacks, his joy takes over. And wherever his joy is, when our joy is down, he can fill the rest of our joy with his joy, and we can be joyful all the time. And I'm thankful for that. That's a benefit of being in the true vine. Now, as we study the Word of God, I understand in studying the Bible that here in this passage of Scripture that Jesus is talking to his disciples. He is talking to the Jews. He is talking to those that are following him. But there is no doubt that we can have benefits and by application from what we see in this passage of Scripture. What he teaches us in this passage of Scripture, we as Gentiles, even though we're not Jews, even though we're not God's chosen people and we're in the church age and the New Testament church time, we can have benefits from this. But I will say this is given unto his disciples as he tells them about it in John chapter 15. But there can still be great rejoicing, wonderful rejoicing, not only from the application here, but I'm glad God made a way for us Gentiles to be in the vine. I'm glad that he made a way for us to be able to get in. And that's what I want to show this morning. Go to Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11. I'm sure that you know these verses of Scripture, but I want to walk through them. And we'll get to a point here at the end of Sunday school here in just a little bit. Romans chapter number 11. Jesus is the true vine. This is in John 15. That's not the only place that we see where vegetation is used as an example for spirituality, where the vine is used as to show us being in Christ. There's another place in the Bible where plants and vegetation are used for the same thing. Romans chapter number 11, and look at verse number 13. This is Paul obviously talking here, and he says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." Now Paul's saying, I'm going to speak to you that are not Jews. Obviously he's writing to the Romans that are not Jews here. And so this can apply directly to us because us as Gentiles. He said, I'm going to put myself up where God has placed me to show you something. Verse number 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. Now we know that Paul is a Hebrew. He's a Jew. And even though God called him to the Gentiles, and by the way, I thank God he called him to the Gentiles, amen. Thank God that he did. We're going to see the significance of all of that here in just a moment. But he said, I'm going to tell you Gentiles something. And he said, my prayer and my hope is that I get some of my own brethren to realize their fault. I hope that they realize that they could have the same thing that God has offered, not only to you Gentiles, but the whole world. He said, I'm going to magnify my office to try to see that all men could come to Christ. But he said, I'm really going to give them to emulation to try to see the Jews even see the error of their way. Look here, verse number 15. For if the casting away of them, who's the them? That's the Jews. Be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. We see in this passage of Scripture that he is talking about how that the children of Israel are a holy people. They are set apart unto God. You read in the book of Hebrews, whenever we read a little bit more from the Jewish perspective, that all of, I believe it's chapter number 9 or 10 off the top of my head, that it starts talking about all of those, that furniture that is in the tabernacle, that was in the temple, and how that all of those pieces of furniture were set apart. They were holy unto God. They didn't use those pieces of furniture for any other use other than what God had ordained them and sanctified them to do. And likewise, us as Christians, likewise us as God's people, we're sanctified, we're holy, we're set apart to be able to do what God wants us to do. This isn't my message right now this morning, but may I remind you, we are not our own. We're bought with a price. We don't decide our life. We give it unto God to let him decide what to do with it. And so we see here that he's trying to bring this all together with the Jews and the Gentiles. Verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, talking to the Gentiles, wert a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. I am so glad that God allowed us a wild branch, a wild olive tree, not originally in the fatness, not originally in the benefits of the vine, of the true vine, but now he has made a way for us to be grafted in. I'm so glad of that this morning. The original had to be cut for us to be grafted in. The Lord Jesus Christ had to be cut. That true vine had to be cut. And oh, did he not do that on the cross of Calvary? Was he not cut for you and me so we could be grafted in? Shall we not rejoice this morning that Jesus Christ was cut so we could be grafted in? The original was cut so the grafting could take place. Some of the old branches were cut off so we could be grafted in. You say, well, preacher, then that means that God thought a lot of us, stay with me, we'll read the rest of the verses, and we're not supposed to be haughty and high-minded in our thinking. We'll see that here in just a moment. But the truth is, some of the old branches were cut. Some of those that were in unbelief were cut and put off to the side because they fell themselves in unbelief that we're going to see in a minute. But some of the new ones were grafted in. Israel was cut off. The branch was cut off so we could be grafted in. I did a little research on this. I do not have a green thumb. I do not at all. I'll be honest with you, I haven't tried a whole lot. The Lord allowed us to be able to buy a home, actually build a home a couple of years ago. And whenever you have a home built, you got to get grass to grow. And we live on top of a bluff, and it's rocky red soil where we live in Missouri. Nothing grows in that stuff except weeds. That's the only thing that grows in it. Don't have, huh? Yeah, oh man, I tell you what, we got weeds all over the place. But it's not like the rich soil that we have here in Illinois where you got this black soil. It's not that way. We're up top and we've tried to get grass to grow in the backyard. And man, it seems like when we come home after being gone for a long time, all we're doing is knocking down weeds for a day or so before we get the grass to kind of look halfway decent. But there, I did do some research on this olive tree. I don't have any information of myself, but in this day and age that you can find different things about it. And I started researching what it was about having these olive trees that are grown in a controlled environment with a husbandman, with a farmer, controlled environment, and then the olive trees that are grown out in the wild. And it is true that the picture that we have here, that it has been true that they have tried to graft in wild branches into controlled olive tree branches. And as I was reading this, the person that was writing the article and was writing the information said that it was originally thought that the original in captivity, the true and pure olive tree branches that were being cared for, the reason why they wanted to take a wild one and put it in is because they thought the disease resistance of the wild one put into the original would help the original be better to fight off disease. And so they tried that for a while. They took the wild one and thought the benefits of the wild would then transmit to the original. But they found out that the original didn't need any help fighting disease. They found out that the original was fine on its own. So what they did was is they decided that they were going to take the wild and they were going to graft it in for a desired effect. They said the olives tasted just a little bit different whenever they grafted it in, and they liked the taste of it. I'm glad that Jesus doesn't need my help, but there's a desired effect that he wanted. He wanted me to be grafted in so that way I could partake of the original. I could partake of the holy, and it's just a desired effect that he wanted for me to be grafted in. Don't we serve a good God this morning? Amen. We see the wonderful picture of us being grafted in. The desired effect. But may I remind you that there is a warning. Look here at verse number 18. It says, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Be careful of that attitude. Careful of that attitude. I do not believe at all. And I don't believe your pastor does either in this replacement theology that Israel's been cast off and now the church, we're the new Israel. Oh no, you read the book of Revelation. You read Daniel's 70th week, how that he's going to deal with Israel again. But we're just the Gentiles. In fact, we see in verse 25, the fullness of the Gentiles is going to be come in. We don't know when that's all going to take place, but we know when it does, we're out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Can't wait for that day. But we see here, he says, don't boast. Don't say, well, look, God wanted us more than he wanted Israel. Wait a minute now. Verse number 19, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. How important is it for us to walk by faith? How important is it for us to be able to stand in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, don't be high-minded, fear. May I remind you, we won't turn there right now for the sake of time, but the Bible says in Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 4, how that Jesus went unto his own and his own received him not. And he tried to do many great works and great miracles in Mark chapter number 6. And because he was a prophet, is without honor save in his own country. That's what the Bible says. And so Jesus said, well, the Bible says that he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. If you read those verses of Scripture, I find it interesting because he said that he just healed a few sick. He made a lame to see. There's a list there of some things that Jesus did. And if it were up to me, I'd say that's still a pretty good list. But Jesus said he could do no mighty work there. Listen to me. He didn't say he couldn't do a work. He just couldn't do a mighty work. What are we wanting for our churches? Are we wanting just a work or are we wanting a mighty work? God can work and get some things done. God can still make the blind see. God can still see the lame walk. God, because of the power of the gospel message, souls can still get saved. Just by reading this Bible, souls can get saved. But what about farther than that? What about people walking with God? What about people being filled with the Holy Ghost of God? We see that, I submit to you this morning, a lost person can get up and read the plan of salvation and somebody could get saved because of the power of the gospel. It has nothing to do with the person. It has all to do with the one that died for the sinner. But what about seeing growth? What about seeing someone be able to walk in the Spirit like we see in the Bible, book of Galatians, the book of Romans? That's the mighty work. That's above and beyond what we just see as nothing to belittle salvation. But what I'm saying is, there's some mighty works that God wants to do right here at this church. And if we are standing in unbelief, His hands are tied. He can't do it. So He says in this passage of Scripture, the reason why Israel was broken off was because of unbelief. But He said, thou standest in faith. And so therefore, you are able to see God work in your life. Verse 21 in there in Romans chapter number 11, for if God spared not the natural branches, those original ones, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Hey, if He knocked off the original ones and allowed them to be taken off because of unbelief, how much more jeopardy are we in? Because of that unbelief. We see here in verse number 22, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Thank God, God still saves the Jews. Amen. Thank God for those that are missionaries that go and try to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Messiah, that He does love them. And thank God that just like we get saved, they can get saved too. Amen. And come into that original vine, that original branch, and be able to partake once again of the fatness and the growth thereof. But the reason why I read all of this to show you this wonderful picture is I want you to see the verses that we preach on so often that come after these. Go to chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Knowing that we were the wild olive branch, knowing that we had no hope of being in the true vine, knowing that we had no hope of having the access to answered prayer and being a successful Christian by bearing fruit, knowing that we had no access to be able to have true joy that we saw in John chapter number 15. But now, because the Lord Jesus Christ was cut on the cross of Calvary and we were grafted in, look at our reaction in verse number 1 of chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, we got what we didn't deserve. We didn't get what we did deserve. God's mercy is true. Notice, I don't think Paul just wrote this, well, I kind of beseech you. I believe this is a beg. This is a plead, saying, I beseech you. I want you to think about this as we go into revival this week, as we get ready and hear my dad preach the rest of the week. May I, in this Sunday school hour, just say, I beseech you, church. I beseech you, pastor. I beseech you that you realize where you came from, what God did to be able to make it possible for you to even sit here in the pews today, on these chairs today, all because He was cut and you were grafted in. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What is our reaction? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, not unto the pastor, not unto men, but unto God. Watch this now. Here's the phrase, which is your reasonable service. Oh, preacher, it's too hard for me to serve God. preacher, it's too hard for me to be faithful to church. Preacher, it's too hard for me to have a walk with God. It's only reasonable after what God's done for us. He was cut. Israel was cut off. We as an olive branch were grafted in. And it's only reasonable that we present our bodies back to Him and say, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, whatever you want me to do. Oh, notice He tells us how to do that in verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world. Oh, preacher, it's so hard to be able to resist the world. It's so hard to be able to push the world off. It's so hard for me not to be able to go with the world's devices. And we have in there the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. Oh, it's so hard for me to resist that. Hey, with the help of the Holy Ghost of God, it's only reasonable that you resist the world. Why? He was cut for you. You were grafted in. Israel was the original. But He allowed us a wild branch to be grafted in. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, I think about that, and I think about how that when with the picture of that wild olive tree being grafted in and partake of that fatness and partake of that nutrients. I tell you what, that olive branch now is getting nutrients like it's never had before. It's getting things that it's never had into its fruit before. And I'm so glad that now that I'm in Christ and now that I've been partakers of the vine, that I have things inside of me that I've never had before. Why? Because I'm grafted into the true vine. The world tried to educate me. The world tried to mold me. Oh, but now what I found in Christ, now what I have in Him, they tried to give me religion. They tried to tell me how I'm supposed to live my life. They tried to tell me what's good for me. Oh, but the true vine has so much better nutrients than what they have. They have so much better. He has so much better than what the world can offer. The joy, the peace, the peace that passes all understanding. The world has no idea about that. Renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not about your will. It's about His will. It's not about what we think we should do. It's about what He thinks should do. But what I want you to understand is this is a reasonable service. It's only reasonable for what God has done for us, for how that He has grafted us in, for how that He has allowed us to be able to be partakers of the vine and what He has done for us. I don't know this week what your burden is. I don't know what you're asking God for. Maybe there's a prayer that you need answered that you've been praying and praying and praying. May I remind you, you're in the vine. You have access to those nutrients. Maybe you have found your life stale when it comes to being a successful Christian. Maybe you find yourself not being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Maybe you find yourself being conformed to the world. May I remind you that we can bear fruit, that we can have the Holy Ghost of God in our life, and we can have that joy and that peace and that long-suffering because we can partake of the true vine. I had a discussion with a coworker that I worked with some years ago. And Brother Evans, we were talking about some spiritual things, and this particular individual fancies himself to be a lay preacher, and so we've had different discussions about different things, and so he was asking me. He said, "I want to try to put some type of a message or some type of a lesson together about." But he said, "I've been asked to talk to some Christian businessmen," or he actually said, "just businessmen in general," and he said, "I want to take the Bible's principles and how they can apply it to even business sense, and even lost people can get benefit from the morality of the Bible." And I said, "You can't do it." I said, "You can't do it." I said, "The only thing that a lost person gets benefit from the Word of God is that Jesus loves them and died for their sins. Because all the other things in it, of course there are things that they can maybe glean from on a morality level that will maybe kind of help them with their fellow man and things like that. But let me tell you something. This book is all about Jesus. And if they haven't accepted the God of this book, what good is living a good life going to do them? All you're doing is giving them a false hope that in the end, they've done some things according to the Bible and they're going to be okay. They need to realize they've come short of God's glory, that they cannot be able to reach God's perfection, and that they're sinners in need of a Savior. And I said, the only thing that a lost person needs to hear from the Bible is that they're a sinner that needs to be saved. When we separate God or Jesus from this book and it just becomes a book of moral code, then we've missed the purpose. We've totally missed the reason why God gave us this book. Paul talked about, he said, I hadn't known sin if it wasn't for the law. He said, it's a schoolmaster to show me that I need a Savior. And may we recognize that because we're in Christ Jesus, because we're in the vine, not only does he convict us to tell us to how we need to live, but he also helps us to realize, I've given you the strength to be able to do it. I've given you the fatness and the nutrients, the Holy Ghost of God, for you to be able to live the life and to bear fruit. How's your joy this morning? How's your joy? Is it waning? And you say, I just don't have much joy. Well, let me tell you something. He said there in John 15, my joy may remain in you. He can fill you up the rest of the way and still have fullness of joy whenever you rely on his joy instead of yours. I want us just to realize, and I know I haven't been real long, Brother Evans, this morning, but I want us to realize this, that he beseeches us because it's our reasonable service. Why? Because we've been grafted in. We have an opportunity to rejoice in the vine. We have an opportunity to lift our hands in praise and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Because I was wild. I don't deserve to be in it. I don't deserve to be able to have access to everything that God has given us. So the next time that you're feeling down and feel like that you can't go on for the Lord, just start reading chapter number 11 and say, thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you, God, for how that you allowed me to be grafted in. And then realize it's only reasonable that we just keep on serving him, our precious Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear Lord God, for the opportunity to be able to speak this morning. And we pray that, God, as we kick off this revival meeting, this Bible conference, that, Lord, maybe that you would help us to come from the perspective that, Lord, we just are grateful. We're just thankful that you allow us to be in the vine so we can serve you. God, help us not to be conformed to this world. Help us, dear Lord, to be transformed, and help us to seek to do your will in Jesus' name.